Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb, and my guest this morning is a woman who is taking her profound grief and turning it into an opportunity to help educate others and potentially save lives. Jenny Soper lost her college-age son, Clay, to a mixture of prescription drugs and alcohol in 2015. She is here today to not only tell Clay's story, but to bring awareness to the dangerous party culture out in our communities and colleges. Jenny, thank you for being here today and for being willing to share this very difficult and very personal journey with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Very much looking forward to this.
So I want to start, of course, with Clay, because this is all about him. And I want you to tell us a little bit about your son.
So Clay was, he had just finished his freshman year at the University of Denver. He was a very social, fun, engaged, athletic, smart, like he was pretty much your typical kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was really happy. He was at a good place in life. Everything was going well. He had finished, like I said, his freshman year at University of Denver, where he absolutely loved. He loved Colorado and the mountains and skiing, and he loved the University of Denver. And he was home for the summer and went out with some friends on a very casual night and got together for a party and didn't come home.
He ended up having some alcohol, but also having the prescription drug Xanax. None of his friends, and I'm sure Clay, would have ever suspected that that could be a lethal combination, correct?
Yes, and that's actually why we're doing this whole thing, because, you know, our son Clay and his friends that night who partook in the same thing with him and who lived are now living with, you know, why are they alive and he's not?
Right.
They really had absolutely no idea that the combination of prescription drugs mixed with alcohol could be fatal. And that was really the impetus for creating this documentary. We're really his friends that said, we don't even know how this happened. We just had absolutely no idea. And quite honestly, as a parent, I had no idea that it was a potential fatal situation as well.
And I want to bring up the fact that it wasn't as though Clay had any substance abuse issues or addiction issues. This was a kid who was, by all accounts, well-adjusted.
Yeah, he did not have substance abuse nor addiction issues, but he was a kid who was a typical college student who was social and went to parties and, you know, went out, but he had never had a situation where he had been hospitalized or in trouble for drugs or alcohol in the past. We considered him to be just a very, you know, typical college student enjoying life.
Talk about the party culture. Most of us who have kids of a certain age, and I count myself among them, teenagers, whether they're in high school, college, some of them start in middle school, understand that kids these days are taking unbelievable chances. The party culture has changed quite a bit. Talk about what you've learned about it in your journey.
So, you know, when something like this happens, you think about this every second of every day.
Of course.
And after Clay died, days after his death, a group of his friends came to our house and just sat in our basement just for support. And that's where this dialogue started about, we had no idea. He didn't know. We didn't know. And everyone just kind of started thinking that, you know, our kids have kind of been raised in a society now where if they have an issue or a, quote, flaw, we treat it with prescription medications. Mm. You know, that can be anxiety, depression, ADHD.
Right.
Most of our students are on some form of, I call them mid-level prescriptions, but no one ever is really told or instructed about the dangers of mixing that with alcohol. And so consequently, I think our students today have no fear of pills or medication because they're so commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line in party culture, it's gotten away from them. I mean, their party culture is a very different culture than what we had when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they have access to things that we didn't have access to. And they have no knowledge of.
I was going to ask things about access. How are these kids getting a hold of all of these drugs? Because I've heard, you know, horror stories about how some, you know, in some situations, kids will throw a bunch of drugs down on a table and take pills that they don't even know what they are. And how is this happening and where are they getting them? And how do we stop it?
Well, I don't know that I have an answer for all those things, but I can tell you what we've learned. And what we've learned is that, like I said, kids have access through a variety of ways. One is their own prescriptions.
True.
You know, on college campuses and college dorms, people sharing ADHD medication or antidepressants or any anxiety meds is very fluid. I mean, they just don't realize that they're putting themselves at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line in their party culture, they've understood that it makes partying even to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just share them very frequently. Certainly there are those that steal them from people's medicine cabinets.
Right.
And then there's also access online. You know, kids can buy anything through the internet. And you know, again, our focus is really, it sounds really horrible to think that somebody would buy something on the internet and take it, and you come to conclusions that those are a certain type of person, that those are people on the edge that would do something really, really radically wrong. And that's not really the case. It's more becoming more commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have any education about the fear behind it or the dangers behind it. And all of Clay's friends sat in her basement and spoke to that. And they said, you know, if we had known, we just wouldn't have ever done this. These were not kids that pushed the limit to a point that was, you know, radical at times. These
right.
were kids that were just,
they
call
didn't
them
think
typical
they
college
were being
kids.
Crazy. They didn't think that they were doing anything sort of outside the lines.
Right.
And yet.
Right.
If you're just tuning in and joining us, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. We've been chatting with Jenny Soper, who lost her son Clay when he mixed alcohol with the prescription drug Xanax. Clay was a smart, athletic, driven young man who simply didn't know the dangers of this combination. Jenny is now using her voice and the voice of other kids to warn families about the current party culture and to educate them through a documentary called If They Had Known. We're going to talk about that next on Exceptional Women. Let's get back to our conversation. So that kept coming through in the message. The kids that were with Clay said, if we had known. When did it occur to you that maybe this could be a bigger thing? It could be a way for you to now educate people out there through a documentary.
So again, when all of his friends gathered at our home, it was really their idea. They said, we need to make purpose of Clay's death because this just shouldn't have happened. And you know, these were college age kids. They'd finished high school. They were willing to take this on and try to make Clay's death help create change with others, because they just were really rattled that this could have happened to him.
Well, I'm sure it was a way to manage their grief as well as try to make sure this doesn't happen to somebody else.
Right. And then in addition to that, they said, but we want this to be different. We don't want this to be a typical public service announcement film that we as students typically would make fun of or, you know, not take seriously. We
right.
want this to be in our voice. We want to tell the true story of what happened that night. So that was the impetus for this film. It was these kids. And so we said, all right, do you want to do this? And they said yes. And I will be forever grateful to these kids. Their ability to be, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Their ability to be just so honest and truthful and caring and candid about what happened that night,
mm-hmm.
so that maybe they could help others, I think is just incredible.
Right.
And without them, it wouldn't be anything.
And I'm sure for them it takes courage to do what they did as well, to be able to speak up among their peers, to relive what happened. Why, and I think, and you can probably speak to this, I'm sure them speaking in this documentary makes it that much more powerful to watch.
Well, it definitely is in terms of how it connects with students.
Yeah.
So our goal was to create a film that students would watch and learn and take something away from and be able to, when they were out on Friday or Saturday or whatever night they go out, if they've seen this film, they've related to the kids in the film, and they suddenly have a data point to say, you know what, this isn't a good idea.
Right.
The kids in the film, like I said, are so honest and so candid, and they talk about what it's like to try to resuscitate your friend when you find him blue. And, you know, I think most films aren't spoken to kids in that way. And our goal was really to be spoken by kids to kids in a way that would really resonate with other students.
Let's listen in. I have a little bit of the trailer just to give people an idea of what the documentary is like and how powerful it is. Let's listen in now.
No one really saw it coming, and I think that's why it's important that it could really happen to any kid.
I will never forget it or underestimate that risk.
We've got to change the culture, but it's like moving a battleship. You can't turn it on a dime. You've got to swing it around so slowly, but you've got to keep at it, and you can turn the ship around.
He loved all of us, and he loved his family so much. He wasn't trying to put any of them at risk, and that's the saddest part.
I don't think I'll ever have someone like Clay Soper ever again. I want Clay to be remembered forever, and I want his spirit to live on.
So a very difficult but important message, very powerful when it's told this way, and I know that was by design. Talk about the impact that this documentary is having on the people who've seen it. I know you've shown it in quite a few high school, hundreds of high schools, and you've shown it to parents and kids. Talk about what you hear them saying and what you have found they take away from it.
So again, our goal was really to reach students in a way that was unique. And to do that, we wanted to tell a story from the students that were with Clay the night he died in their vernacular so that other students, when they watch it, can feel a connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
We've shown it in several hundred high schools and colleges and universities. And, you know, we didn't really know when we first kind of launched this film if what the reaction would be.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been absolutely overwhelmed with the impact and reaction from not only students, but administrators, communities, families, et cetera. Just saying that, you know, these students, when they watch it, they are completely rattled. And the impact that it has on them has just been tremendous. We've received an unbelievable amount of feedback from students. You know, the first at the debut, we handed out comment cards and we asked students just to, you know, give us their takeaway from the film.
Mm-hmm.
And the responses that we got even out of the first debut film were just incredible. One student said, as a regular mixer of mixing Xanax with alcohol, I will never do it again after seeing this film.
Imagine, like...
So for us, that was a huge win, and that was the first time the film had ever been publicly shown.
Amazing.
So, and from there on, I mean, we hear from students all across the country that, you know, this is starting dialogues in their campuses. This is starting dialogues at parties. It's starting dialogues amongst themselves, and that's our goal.
Do you suggest that students watch it with their peers, with other students, with their families? Both?
So we have, when a high school, community, or college licenses a film, they actually get a complete documentary program kit. So along with the film, we've put together a complete package to host a discussion panel after the film.
Wow, okay.
We feel that the time directly following the film for discussion is equal as important as watching the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've put together kind of a how-to guide on how to put together that discussion panel, questions to ask, how to, you know, receive input from your audience, how to publicize that. You know, it's a complete how-to package. So any school that licenses this can take it and do it.
And if somebody listening now is interested in doing that, is there a website that they go to? Could you give that out?
Absolutely. Our website is www.iftheyhadknown.com. And there's a tab that says host a showing.
Okay.
And you just reach out to us and we will get back to you with all the necessary information.
What's the running length of the actual documentary?
So the full film is 35 minutes in length.
Okay.
The documentary is 5 minutes. There's 30 minutes. But then at the end, we also have some additional clips that were recorded by five of the kids in the film. And those clips kind of refer to these five key messaging points that we've put in place with mm-hmm. this whole program. And it's those kids just kind of reiterating what those key messaging points are, like never leave someone alone. Understand the risks. Seek help. Don't be afraid to seek help. Understand that accidents don't discriminate. Whether you've taken mixed prescription drugs with alcohol for months in advance
or
all your friends have and they've mm-hmm. survived, that doesn't mean that night's not going to be different. So we've created these messaging points that we hope will be takeaway messaging for kids.
And you started a memorial fund for Clay. Is that how you raise money in order to support all of the activities that you do? Talk about that a little bit and how you do it.
So Clay was a very competitive alpine ski racer his whole life. And when he first died, his sister Allie said, let's create a memorial race in his honor, because in the world of ski racing, if someone passes as a ski racer, that's what you do.
Okay.
So we decided we'd put together a ski race in his honor. And then these kids came to us and said they wanted to do this documentary. And so this whole concept just grew into creating a foundation. So we held the first ski race up at Waterville Valley the winter after he died. And part of that was kind of a fundraising arm to raise money for the foundation.
Right.
So we did that for 2 years, as well as private donations. We were able to raise the money to get this foundation rolling. And then we also have, so there's three parts of the foundation. There's the documentary.
Right.
If They Had Known. There's the Clay Soper Memorial Weekend Championship race at Waterville Valley. And then there's also a program that we've started within Youth Enrichment Services in Boston.
Oh.
Which is an organization that Clay volunteered with his whole high school career.
Okay.
And he felt very passionately about this. It's based in Boston, and it basically is an organization that gives inner city kids an opportunity to learn to ski and do other outdoor activities and learn all the things that go along with that.
Right. And that is such a great organization, because a lot of those kids wouldn't have those opportunities. I mean, skiing is an expensive sport. Almost all sports are expensive now. So
right.
That's wonderful.
Well, and it goes beyond even just skiing. For some of these kids, it's the first time they've been on a mountain.
Yeah.
And to understand that feeling of being in nature like that, which was something Clay was very in tune with. So we have a program at Youth Enrichment Services called Clay Connections.
Oh.
And it's a middle school program where we put together 20 seventh graders from a suburban community and 20 seventh graders from an inner city community. And they have 5 weeks of activities where they learn that they share more similarities than differences. And he was very much into diversity and understanding people's differences and backgrounds. He loved that. So mm-hmm. this program kind of enables that to continue on.
And if people want to get involved in that or want to donate, again, would it be the same website?
Yes. Or, I mean, if you want to learn about YES, you can go to yeskids.org.
Okay.
But otherwise, YES, the If They Had Known. Or we also have a Clay Soper Memorial Fund.com website as well.
If you're just joining us, this is Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb. And Our guest today is Jenny Soper, who is sharing the story of every parent's nightmare. She lost her son, Clay, a well-adjusted college student who did not have addiction or substance abuse issues, to a combination of drugs and alcohol. Now she is honoring her late son through a memorial fund and documentary meant to warn others of the dangers of today's party culture. If They Had Known sends a powerful message. It is a message by kids, to kids. It is intended to be raw and powerful, and it's having a huge impact. Let's continue on. Let's talk about the future. I know you just received a pretty substantial grant. Can you tell us about that and sort of what your plans are moving forward?
Yes, we are extremely excited to have been awarded a Cummings Grant, part of their 100K for 100 program that they have.
With the Cummings property in Beverly?
Yes. Well, it's the Cummings Foundation.
Yes. I always think of them as the huge office complex.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they have a huge presence in Suffolk, Essex, and Middlesex County.
Okay.
And they have a 100 K for 100 grant program where they award 100 nonprofits $100,000.
Wow.
And we are incredibly excited and honored to have been awarded this. So moving forward in the short term, you know, our goal is every school in Suffolk, Essex, and Middlesex County is we've put together a special offering for them to be able to bring this film to their students.
That's amazing.
You know, our goal is to get this film in front of students, and we're going to do everything we can to reach as many as possible.
Talk a little bit about how this event has changed sort of the course of what you do and the impact it's had on your family.
Wow.
Probably hard to put in words, I know. Because you've shown amazing strength. I think I read something on one of your websites or some article that was written about you, it really resonated with me, that you said, I can hide behind the tragedy, or I can get out in front of it and honor my son and try to help other people. And you decided the latter. Why?
Yeah, that is true. When Clay first died, and like I said, his whole world just came to support us, a lot of people asked us why we weren't, or if we were very angry with these kids and angry that this had happened and trying to find blame and everything. And, you know, we're not angry with these kids, and we're not angry because we realized they didn't know. This is not something they ever would have allowed him to do if they had known. They wouldn't have partaken by themselves if they had known. And so we feel like they are truly kind of innocent victims in this lack, mm-hmm. due to the lack of education they had around this. So, you know, that it's really easy when you lose someone to get really angry at everything. But we kind of said, like you mentioned, that we had two options. We could, you know, hide behind this and hide behind the circumstances of his death, or we could be very open about it, because he wasn't a kid on the edge. He wasn't a kid that should have died like this. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of kids out there that shouldn't die like this. So Clay also was a tremendous communicator with people. He just had this way of walking into a room and he knew everyone and everyone knew him, and he just connected with people in a way that honestly we weren't even truly aware of while he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel like this film is allowing him to continue to connect with people and help people, and that gives us some peace.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us some purpose. So how has my life changed since he died? You know, we will never have our old life mm-hmm. again. And my kids, my other two children, you know, their lives have been completely turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to honor Clay, I think we are figuring out how to keep moving.
Yeah.
And
they were both involved in the documentary.
Very much so.
Yeah.
They're both in the documentary, very much part of planning it. They're both board members on our foundation. They're both very active in the foundation.
Right.
So
The way you've handled yourselves going forward has been a family decision. You have all worked
yes.
to create this mission that you have now.
Yes, this is not just the mom. This mm-hmm. is our entire family embracing
right.
this.
Right.
And
again, I think it gives us all a little bit of purpose.
Right.
My daughter, Allie, while she was in high school, she would go to local high schools and help introduce the film and help with the dialogue following the film. And that was a really fantastic opportunity for student showings, because to have another student up there speaking was a great thing for these schools.
Of course.
Our son Ted has hosted it at University of Denver for 2 years and done the same thing. So, you know, they've done what they could do in their worlds.
Right. And I think the positive that comes out of it is you're going to save lives, because if the message is really reaching people, and it is, and it's a numbers thing, the more you get it out there, the more people you're going to, they're hearing you. And if they're hearing you, and if you save even one life, then I'm sure that that's at least some solace to you.
It is. And you know what? I could honestly say I know we're saving lives. I know from the feedback that we've gotten from students especially that they are thinking twice about this now. They now have a little bit of education to make better decisions. And that's what keeps us going. So our focus now is, over the next couple of years, we are trying to get this film into every high school and college campus across the country. And
that's a big goal.
It's a huge goal. It's a huge goal. But
I think you can do it. You've already been in hundreds, and you're obviously making an impact. You're getting the funding. So it's more about just awareness now, right?
It's about, you know, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people hear about this and they're have a child in a high school or their child in college and they want to see this at these schools, you know, reach out to us, reach out to your schools. You know, it takes a little bit of communication to get the film placed into the school.
Yeah.
But once it does.
But it sounds like you have a program in place. If people are interested, they get all the instructions. It's sort of turnkey.
It's absolutely
turnkey.
It's just
a matter of, you know, deciding you're going to do it.
Yes.
And then you guys kind of do the rest.
Yes.
Yeah. We're almost out of time already. Give out the website again if people want to know more about the Memorial Fund or to give to that. And then I know the documentary, ifthayhadknown.com, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then give out the other website.
So the other website for the Clay Soper Memorial Fund is claysopermemorialfund.com.
Okay. And the program, the Clay Connections?
The Clay Connections at Youth Enrichment Services. And that can all be found on the claysopermemorialfund.com website.
Thank you so much for being so open with us today. Your work is definitely a testament to your love for your son, your hope for the future of all of our kids. And we hear you, and I hope families listening today will watch the documentary, will have, you know, the tough conversations that need to be had. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Jenny Soper for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We are grateful for your truth, for your gracious sharing of such an important story, and for all you do to be a catalyst for change. I'm Sue Tabb. You've been listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Remember that exceptional women are everywhere. We talk to celebrities and authors and CEOs, but we are also interested in your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact out in their communities. Email us if you know someone you'd like to suggest. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, too, to my producer, David O'Leary, and to all of you for listening. Be sure to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.